Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Pei Zayin, which is good as gold. And we're there today with Alon, right there out there on the road, right? Except looks a little bit virtual. Okay, but we can hope. So we're holding today at the Mishnah on daf Pei Zayin. And we started dealing with the issues of water sources that are in Chatzerot. We started with the issue of a water source, which is the problem over there was that there were two Chatzerot that were sholeit on the water source. Now, there's also another reason that might ask us to make a mechitza in a water source. And that would be the case that our Mishnah talks about. What we have over here is not a water source that has two Chatzeros, as one Chatzer. But the thing is, it is coming from being attached to a river, and that river is a Carmelite, and anything that just continues on from the river becomes a branch of the river, assuming it's the minimal size which of the Carmelite, which would be 4 tvachim wide by 10 tvachim deep. Now, the problem is, when it comes into the Rishus HaYochid, which is the Chatzer, you're not allowed to draw the water because you're drawing the water out of a Carmelite into the Rishus HaYochid. So what are you supposed to do in that kind of circumstance? So there, too, we have the same problem of making some type of mechitza. Here we'd have to make the mechitza on either end where the water comes in and leaves the chatzer in order to make it part of the chatzer. And, of course, we'll still have Reb Yehuda Shita, that the wall of the chatzer itself is perfectly useful even to be a mechitza for water. And it doesn't have to be made special for water. It doesn't have to be put inside in order to make it clear that it's for water. That is Reb Yehuda Shita. He doesn't have any problem with this. So let's start the Halakha Mishnah here with the case of an amata mayim, sheoveret b'chatzer. So now we've got this open pipe, and it's moving through the chatzer. It's coming from a Carmelite. So you cannot be memalei nemenu b'shabbat, because it itself is an extension of that Carmelite. Elim ken asu la mechitza gevoah asarat tvachim b'knisa b'yitzia. You would need a mechitza on the entry and exit point into the chatzer. And we do not rely on the wall around the chatzer. Just like yesterday, we didn't rely on the wall between the chatzeros, because we said, well, that wasn't made specially for water, nor does it appear to be relating to the water, because it is not going inside of, in that case, we're talking about a cistern. In this case, we would say it's not going inside of the open pipeway. So it's not enough. But Reb Yehuda, true to his shita of yesterday, that it does not have to go inside of the cistern, and it does not have to be made specifically for water purposes. So true to his sheet of yesterday, he says the same thing today. What's the problem of the kotel that currently exists? It's the kotel shagabat, yidonkamo mechitza. Why is that not a good enough mechitza to be a mechitza to luya? Om Reb Yehuda, I could tell you a maisa shahaya in the ama, the open pipe of the town of Avel, they used to, there was no mechitza there except what I'm saying. It was just like the entry wall that it went under. And there's a kenim all there, paskin. There's no problem of drawing the water out of it on Shabbos. And the same thing is true over here. And they told him, Amrulo, yeah, that's because it wasn't large enough to be a problem. Now, large enough to be a problem, might mean a lot of different things, but the pashtus would be, it's not large enough to be considered to be a Carmelite, because in order to be a Carmelite, it has to be both 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, and one of the other of these measurements was insufficient for it to be considered its own rishos, and therefore would be like a makom patur, and it would be now boto to the rishos hayochid in which it is currently located. Tana Rabbana. Suppose asula b'kdisa v'lo asula b'yitzia, or asula b'yitzia v'lo asula b'kdisa, ein memalein emenu b'shabbat, elim ken asula b'chitza asarat tvachim, both in the yitzia and the knisa. So now the Braita basically just describes things in a little bit more detail. And it says, look, it's got to have this b'chitza over the water in the pipe area in order for it to be b'chitza of mayim. And if not, if it's not both at the entry and at the exit, it's not going to work. And again, in the Brayta, we quote Rabbi Yehuda saying, Kotoshal Gaba, Tidon Mishum Mechitza. And Rabbi Yehuda brings the story of the Amat HaMayim Shaitaba Mi'avel. Here, we get a little bit more detail. Turns out it was really a long-distance pipeline, and it carried water from Avel all the way to Tzipori. And by the way, you can see exactly this kind of open pipeline in the Movil Ha'artzi, where the water that is pumped out of the Kinneret, it travels along an open pathway over there to an open pipeway, and goes into storage areas like Eshkol. So if it's 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide, it would have a din of a Carmelite. And Rabbi Yehuda says, look, people used it there, and they would take the water out for Shabbos, according to the Zakenim. Amru lo mishom rahya, well, you call that a proof of something. That was because it definitely was not both 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. Now, we have another price. So far, no new information over there, except for the actual measurement of the shear. So now we know exactly what the shear is before it just said Shloya Bakashir. The bright has made that clear. Now, there's another Braita that talks about something that sounds more similar to the issues that we had before. And that is where the Amat HaMayim is passing underneath windows. So here we've got the same issue we talked about before in Venice. Seem to be talking about that problem here with an open pipeline. And now we're getting a little bit confused because it talks about a measurement that we're not sure what it's measuring. Because the pshat in the Braita is, if it's less than 3 tvachim, what is less than 3 tvachim? I don't know. If it's less than 3 tvachim, because 3 tvachim never, until now, was the definition of a Carmelite. So if it's less than 3 tvachim, you can lower your bucket from your window, and you can be mamale out of the Amat HaMayim, take it into your house. But if it's already 3 tvachim, then you can't. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel says, it's not 3 that counts, it's 4 that counts. So, pachot mi arba'ah, mishalshet li umemale, but arba'ah, ein mishalshet li umemale. Now, as we know, this is an old machlokas about the shear of lovud, but what the heck does lovud have to do with anything? We're not talking about lovud here. We're trying to measure the size of this Amat HaMayim, which is a Carmelite. We never saw before that there was an element of 3 or 4 that made any difference. Every single time we quoted the shear of a Carmelite, it was always 4 tvachim, not 3 tvachim. Same thing was true about a Malkum Tur. It was a Malkum that was less than 4 tvachim, because that was the shear of a Malkum. And the Gemara had even mixed up before whether there's a thinking there was a relationship between Malkum Choshev and the shear of Lovud, and it's two different issues. One is whether did a Malkum Choshev, same thing happened with Petach. Remember, we thought maybe Petach had something to do. No, it's just Gemara. Petach needs to be Choshev, Malkum Ara. But the question is something Lovud has nothing to do with whether it's considered to be the Petach. It's to whether things are considered to be attached. So it's very unclear what's going on. And indeed, the Gemara immediately asks, what? When you're talking about 3 or 4, what? But my askinan, are we talking about the Amat HaMayim itself? And we're suddenly saying that there's a machlokas about whether, in order to be a Carmelite, it's supposed to be 4 or whether it's supposed to be 3 tvachim? I mean, so you're telling me that the famous, I mean, like, I never heard that anybody had any question about the din that Rav Dimi quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, we had this Shabbos, Ein Carmelit Pchuta Mi Arba. There's no such thing as a Carmelite that would be less than 4 tvachim wide. I mean, that I never heard anybody arguing on that. Are we now saying that this is a machlokas tanoim over here in the Mishnah between the Tan and this bright over here between the Tanakama and between Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and it's dependent somehow or related maybe to the machlokas of Lovod, or maybe just an independent machlokas, hard to believe? Does that make sense? I don't believe it. So I would suggest maybe what it's talking about is the agapea. So it's talking about the banks that were built up around this Amat HaMayim. And here's the idea. Assuming that those banks are small enough, then we would be able to take the water out with the bucket. Then we would lower the bucket onto the edge. If the edge was a Malkum Patur, then after letting it sit on the Malkum Patur, we could take it up to the window. Because then we would never be doing a direct transference from a Carmelite to Rishus HaYochid. We'd be going from a Carmelite to Makom Patur, and then from a Makom Patur to Rishus HaYochid. Now, I know what you're going to object. You're going to object that until now, a Makom Patur was all very nice, that it could be used in both directions, but we said you're not allowed to flip it from one Rishus to the other, and therefore, would we really be allowed to use the Agapayim to flip it out of the Carmelite, set it down, and then take it up again? Would that really help? Maybe, because, I mean, there might be a big difference between the flipping from Rishus HaRav and Rishus HaYochid, which is Rishus DeRaisa, to flipping out of a Carmelis into your house, where over there we're talking about Rishus DeRabbanan. So maybe. But, I mean, if that's what it means, then we got a problem, because then that would mean that the shear that we also had from Rabbi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, this time quoting the shear of a Makom Patur, before we quoted the shear of a Carmelite cannot be less than four. Well, from what I understood, is that that means anything less than four is a Makom Patur. And in fact, as Rabbi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, we've had so many times, that any place that doesn't have four by four is a Makom Patur, and was always in terms of four by four, not three by three. And now you're telling me that the Tanakhama says three? So that would mean that the Asr of Dimi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mokom She'in Bo Arba'a L'Arba'a, Mutar Levnei Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaRabim L'Katef Alav, U'Bavad Shelo Yachlifu. Let's ignore the moment of the three or the four, okay? Because, all right, maybe I can get away with understanding that difference, as Rashi explains. If you're talking about a Makom Patur that's up against a real Rishus, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, so then I understand that the moment that it goes beneath four doesn't have any chashivas. But a Makom Patur that is up against a Rishus DeRabbanan, so there perhaps vis-a-vis a Carmelite, it's already chashiv if it has a three. That's possible. I mean, it's not unimaginable. All right, so let's think maybe that's the point. But then don't we still have the problem of flipping it from Rishus A to Rishus B? The only time Rav Dimi was matir, according to Rav Yochanan, was when we didn't switch it. It was only where we kept it either from the Carmelite to Rishus to the Makom Patur, or from the Rishus HaYochid to the Makom Patur, the case that we had Rishus to Rabin, but we weren't allowed to flip it. So Bavach Lo Yachlifu says, well, yeah, but maybe we're only worried about flipping when we're dealing with a Shriot Dioraita. Over here, we're not dealing with a Shriot Dioraita. So maybe Yochanan isn't that makbid, you know? So since it's only between a Carmelis and Rishus HaYochid, so maybe over there, the Rabbanan allowed a two-part flipping. First, take it out of the Carmelite, Yamat HaMayim, put it on the edge, and the edge is less than three, so it's a Makom Patur. Take it from the edge and bring it into the house. Maybe that's the pshat. I don't know. It's still problematic because this is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the source of all of this, right? Rav Dimi was quoting Rabbi Yochanan. And we know for a fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds you cannot flip Rishuyas using a Makom Patur even between two Rishuyas Derabbanan, because there is, in fact, a Mishnah that says, even though it says the Tanya, the Mishnah says that Kotel, Shebein Shtei Chatzerot, Gavoh Asarat Tfachim V'Rochav Arba'a, we just had this Mishnah before. So you've got this wall between two Chatzerot. It's four Tfachim wide, right? And it's 10 Tfachim high. So then it prevents the two Chatzerot from having a joint Eruv, number one. And if there was something on top of the wall, it's a Rishus for itself, so people could come up from one Chatzer and sit on the wall. People come up on the other chutzner and sit on the wall. Yes, that they can do. But if anything happens, they certainly can't take it down, right? Because it's in a different rishus. Now, if anything happened to the wall, if it's an opening ad eser amot, so then it's like a doorway, and they have a right to choose. Do they want to make one eruv? Do we want to make two eruvs? Because that's a petach. If it has more than 10 amas, of course, they have no choice but to join in one eruv. And so far, this has nothing to do with us, but it was what followed. Remember, we said, wait, but the Mishnah is only talking about if it does have four tvachim. What would be if it doesn't have four tvachim? And there is where we found out Rabbi Yochanan messes us up here. Because over there, Rav says, that's a disaster. If it's less than four tvachim, then avir shtei reshuyais, both of the chatzeros have equal control of that area. and therefore you can't budge it, even move it a hair's breadth. So lo yaziz bo malon nima, but Rabbi Yochanan says, and listen to this, since it is a makom patur, then every one of the chatzeros can bring up food there and eat, and the other one can bring up food and also bring it down. And apparently what that means is that there's no problem of going from one to the other. It doesn't get the din. You're allowed to go from your house up to the top and from your house down to the bottom. And this is what really kills us is Rav Dimi, because Kiyosu Rav Dima, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mokum Shein Bo Arba Al Arba, Mutil Evnei Rishus Aravim, Le Rishus Ayochel Lechatef, love like we've had 100 times already, as long as they're not machlif. Oh my God. So then that means that we're comparing the din of being on top of the wall to, and that's between two Isurei Rishuyas Derabbanan, right? That two different chatzeros, we're not ma'arv one with the other. And we're saying, and that's exactly the same as a mokum tur between Rosh Hashanah Yochanan and Rosh Hashanah Rabim. And we even throw in for good measure a little sprinkle that says, ubilvad shelo yachlifu, you're not allowed to flip from one to the other. And we apply that to Rosh Hashanah Rabbanan. So now we're up the creek without a paddle, because we were trying to explain all of this works out, because the only way we could figure out, let's just remember what happened here. The only way we could figure out that three would be a meaningful shear would be that it would be talking about a edge, like a little wall at the edge of the Amat HaMayim, and that over there, since it's right up next to a Carmelite, as long as it's less than three as opposed to four, because a Carmelite is not strong enough to be Mavato four, whatever. And so it would be considered a Mokum Patur. And then you'd be allowed to dip your bucket into the water, lift the bucket a little bit, drop the bucket onto the makom patur, let it sit for a second, and then lift it up to your window. And that way you would not be going directly from a Carmelite to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And we said, but I thought Rabbi Yochanan said you're not allowed to flip from one Rosh Hashanah to the other. And we answered, well, that's because you were taking it from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That's the Araisa. But if you're going from a Carmelite, like over here, it's okay. Well, here we find Rabbi Yochanan himself, as Rav Dimi just explained it, implied that a wall that's between two Rishuyas, you cannot flip, even though it's a Mokum Patur, you cannot flip fruit on top of it from one Rishuyas to the other Rishuyas. So apparently, even though it's only a Derabbanan, I mean, the whole idea over there is separate Rishuyas is a Derabbanan, Rav Yochanan still insists that you can't flip it, so now we don't have an answer to what the Mishnah is talking about. Who cares if it's three or four? You wouldn't be allowed to flip it anyway. No, says the Gemara. Hold on one second. Who said that part, that this is like Rabbi Yochanan, and it's the same as Rabbi Yochanan, who says Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Rabim, which means you would not be allowed to take the perot from one chotzer to the other chotzer? That was Ze'iri, the Omer Ze'iri Omer Rabbi Yochanan. But Rav Dimi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he would hold that you are allowed to flip it. So it would be going according to Rav Dimi. Fine. So you have an explanation according to Rav Dimi. But Ze'iri is going to be stuck in this because, I mean, how is he going to understand this Mishnah? And how does he apply the Braita that talks about three and four? He doesn't have any options. So he's like, well, you're right. He does not have any options, and he's got to bite the bullet. What was biting the bullet? Biting the bullet meant that the Machlokas, Tanoim, in the Braita, is actually Nogea, the shear of a Carmelite. Is a Carmelite four tvachim or three tvachim? That's a heck of a bullet to bite, but Rav Dimi or Ze'iri has no choice. He's going to have to learn that we're talking about the shear of a Carmelite, and that according to the Rabbanan, the shear of a Carmelite is 3 by 10. Wow. Okay. Asks the Gemara, okay, let me ask you something else. Even if that's the case. So, isn't there also a din of chore Carmelite, that extensions of a real Carmelite are considered to be a Carmelite, just like chore Rishus HaRabim is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, extension of Rishus HaRabim, even just like a little hole in the side of a wall, we call that part of Rishus HaRabim. So why don't we call this big Amat HaMayim open pipe? Why isn't that the Carmelite, right? Okay, so before we continue, let's just review what happened, because it's a little bit complicated. We got a lot of different shitot over here. We started off again with the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Tanakama, who says the shear is 3, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says the shear is 4. We asked shear of what? It certainly wouldn't mean the shear of the Carmelite per se, because that quote by Rav Dimi Omer Yochanan was unheard of that anybody ever argued on. So we said, right, it's not the Carmelite, it's the edges of the Carmelite, the Amat HaMayim. And since the edges are up against the Carmelite, not up against the real Rishos, so there apparently there's a shita that a Mokum Patur would have to be 3 or less. But once it's 3, it's already Choshev a different Rishos relative to the low-level Rishos of Carmelite. And then, and what's the point? How could you get it to your window? The point would be that you would rest it for a moment on that Mokum Patur. And then we got into the problem about Rav Dimi quotes Rav Yochanan saying, you're not allowed to flip between one Rishos and the other. Because did we not also compare Rav Yochanan in the case of the wall between the two Chatzeros? And we said, no, that comparison was done by Ze'iri Amar Rav Yochanan. And he compared Rishos Rabbanan even to Diraisa, and therefore you can't flip between them. But Rav Dimi is fine. Rav Dimi holds you can flip between them if it's a Drabonin, and therefore I have a simple explanation of the Mishnah. It was referring to the edges of the water pipe, not to the water pipe itself. And then we had to go a little bit to Rabbi Ze'iri and say that since a little bit to Ze'iri, Rabbi Yochanan assers any type of transfer through a Mokum Patur, even from a Rishus Drabbanan, then we had no choice but to understand that he holds that there's a machlokas about the shear of a Carmelite in general. Is the Carmelite 4 Tvachim or 3 Tvachim? Mashen, can I leave it to Reb Dimi? Reb Yochanan has no problem in transferring between one Rishus Drabbanan and another Rishus Drabbanan through a Mokum Patur, and the din of a Carmelite being Arba Tvachim is something we never heard anybody argue on, and we still don't know anybody arguing on it. So our only question right now is, why not consider this pipe to be an extension of the Carmelite, even if it's narrow? Says Abaye bar Rav and Reb Chanina bar Rav. You remember these cases, by the way. We had like a little hole in the Rishus HaRabim, and you took a ball and you threw it and it landed in a hole. We had the beginning of Shabbos. We said, but that's Chorei Rishus HaRabim, even though it's way too small to be Rishus HaRabim, right? Doesn't matter. It's like just bottle to Rishus HaRabim. Why isn't the extension of the pipe over here bottle to the Carmelite from where it comes? Says Abaye bar Ravin as a Yesod and Reb Chanina bar Ravin, when the Rabbanan were gozer the din of Carmelites, they were not machmir on it to say that it also extends into chorin, into little holes that branch off of it. Either you're in the main Carmelite's body or you're not in the main Carmelite's body, and therefore the pipe, if it isn't a Carmelite on its own, in the size of 4 by 10, is not going to be considered a Carmelite. Rav Ashi says, I don't care about that. Even let's say theoretically there are chor in the Carmelites. For God's sake, a chor is a chor, man. I mean, it's something right up against the Carmelite. Over here, you're talking about a pipeline. It went 5 miles. I mean, what kind of chor is that? Obviously, it's got its own rishos. Okay, now we also have over here an entirely different approach that doesn't get us into this whole big problem of Reb Dimi and Ze'iri and transferring from a Mokum Patur, and it's not talking about a Mokum Patur. It's very, very simple. Reb Ina says, look, what it's talking about over here is that the guy had outlet valves that he put at the entrance into his chutzor of the water and the exit from his chutzor of the water. Now, the question is, he can flap this open or close, right, on either side. So it's like a heart valve. Now the question is, when he closes it partially, now, how closed does it have to be to consider it to be a mechitza? That's the question. And that has to do with Lavan, obviously. So is it closed or is it not closed? So according to the Tanakam, if it's less than 3, then it's completely sealed. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, if it's less than 4, it's completely sealed. Great. So this is the old machlokas about lavud. Oz the Rabbanan l'tamayo and oz the Reb Shimon Gamliel l'tamayo, and everything is just plain, simple, hunky-dory. And now we're ready to go on with some words from the Halakha Talisker into further water problems. And it all started with the Halakha Talisker's boat, of getting water up into the boat. And now we're continuing on. Get to it, Halakha.
Normally, it's more a problem to get water out of the boat than into the boat.
That's true. problem. We have spent our time bailing together.
No.
Yizustra. Thank you. So now you've got this issue that we've spoken about so many times. You've got this porch that's right over water. So the din is, as we saw, you're not allowed to take water from a Carmelis, because normally a water body, we're not talking about a water pipe anymore, we're talking about a body of water. So it's certainly for Tefachim Light. You're not allowed to take water out of that, which is a rishus of a Carmelite, and take it into your porch, which is a rishus hayachid. The only way you'd be able to do that is with the old refrigerator box. So then you'd have to make a mechitza gavoa asarat tefachim, and you could put this mechitza up on top, right under your porch. You could put it anywhere. You could put it close to the water. According to Rashi, you could put it on top of the porch, is what it means by milamala. The bottom line is, as long as you pass the bucket through the refrigerator box, then basically it's called a mechitza tluya over the water and kalu shekilu chachani. Okay. Then we get into the other issue. We had two balconies, one on top of the other. And remember, one was a little bit offset. And the question over here is, am I able to utilize the same refrigerator box? So over there, if you've got Shtegezustra, Asula El Yona, they made, put a refrigerator box in, out of the upper porch. The lower porch wants to throw its bucket through that refrigerator box. And they didn't make it their own. They've got to have an Erev between them. So Shteim Asrot Achi Yeravon, we've discussed this at great length in all kinds of different ways. We finally get to the Mishnah, but notice that the Mishnah did not allow the option of Kof. Remember what Kof was? Kof with a Chof. Kof meant that you don't have to actually build a refrigerator box. What you could do is you could make a little child's game of fold and cut, right? And you just draw the refrigerator box on the porch as a cutout, and then you virtually cut it out either in all four directions, in which case it would have to be 24 tefachim by 24 tefachim to allow for 4 tefachim plus 10 tefachim on all ends. Or if you had it up against the wall, which is the exit from your house, and you were careful that your kids didn't fall down the refrigerator box after you cut out the 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, so then you could use your wall as one edge of the box, and then you would only need to bend it enough to reach within Shlosh Tefachim of the wall. So you'd only need an extra Tefach, 6 plus 2 Mashus. Okay, but whatever. The Mishnah did not give us that alternative, and that seemed to be a very nice alternative. So apparently the Mishnah doesn't hold that you can use your imagination for Kof, right? So the Mishnah's not going like Hanani ben Akavya, because Hanani ben Akavya said that if you've got a Gezustra Sheishba Arba al Arba Amot, then you do have to cut a hole. Yeah, you need 4 by 4. But then you don't need to put the refrigerator box down, because you could just be mamale by virtually folding the floor of the porch down all around the hole. Omri Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, that, well, just you should know, I mean, I don't disagree with you that the Mishnah should have at least mentioned the possibility in some cases that we could do the fold trick. But just that you should know, the fold trick was only mentioned in conjunction with Yam HaKineret, as I explained yesterday. And the reason that the Yam HaKineret was special was because, because it is completely surrounded by Ognin, Ayarot, Karfefot, Arme Kifedoto. So it's got these cities around it. It's got these banks and the tourist areas and all of that. All of that has some level of a mechitza. And yes, I agreed it has a din of a Carmelite, but there's a difference between an open Carmelite and something that is declared a Carmelite because of the fact that it's Yoter mi Beit Satayim. And in a Carmelite, which is Yoter Beit Satayim, in all honesty, that's Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, we're not going to be that makbid in carrying between the so-called Carmelite of the Yam HaKineret up to your porch, because it's really carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, there and only there is where Reb Hanani ben Akavya said, you can even go down to the kid's cutout refrigerator box. Avo Bishar Yamot Lo. He never said that as a general rule, just that you should know. By the way, Reb Hanani ben Akavya had a number of things that he said were special dispensations for people who lived in Tveria. There were three things like that. And he had given them a halakha that they could do this. And not all of them were only unique to Tveria, but he said these three things in Tveria. One was what we just said, Memali Maimi Gezistra Bishabbat, utilizing the cut and fold process. He also said that you're allowed to store fruit in atzah. So atzah is junk that's left behind after you process legumes. So like peas and beets and stuff like that. There's always tons of stuff. And that kind of stuff is excellent for food storage. The only problem is if it gets wet and you put the food in it, then you put the fruits, because the fruits are supported by this stuff and it's soft. It's great. It's better than using foam. But the problem is if it was left outside before collecting, then it collects dew during the night. And then the question is, if you put the fruit into it, now it's possible that you like that dew because it also keeps things fresh instead of very dried out. It's not a lot of water, just enough to keep things fresh. If you liked it, then it would be machshir the fruit to be makabel duma, because it would be ki yutan mayim alzera dumya de ki yitain. So we need to find out whether you're collecting this stuff after dewfall, because you wanted it to be wet, or whether you're collecting it because you just want to go out early in the morning because you don't want to interrupt your patients with all of this. So, you know, with Barry's understanding, Dr. Chaim's understanding, they wouldn't want to have to go out and gather together all of that junk in the middle of the day, right? So they do it early in the morning. So he actually said that in Tveria, there's no problem because everybody in Tveria is a doctor. So it's the kind of place where nobody really does any work. They just walk around with a physician sign on the car. No, it's because they're busy. And because they're so busy, you can assume that if they didn't say otherwise, then if they live in Tveria, they're active businessmen. And the reason they went out early in the morning is not because they want wet atzah. It's because they just don't want to go out later on in the day in the middle of the business day. So, and of course, my grandfather was there in Tveria. Where's Barnea? I got a neighborhood store. Forget it. It's not even fun. Okay. So because of that in Tveria, it would be okay. So let me go through the other thing that he said. The third thing was you're allowed. And of course, in Tveria, it was like a big deal taking the baths on Shabbos. That was the whole discussion we had, to be Mater Yama Shel Tveria, or certainly cold water. So he told them, you're allowed to use a bath towel. Now, as long as you take this bath towel, usually we've got some problems with bath towels that people may squeeze them dry, and that would be an issue, because that machlok is about precisely what the issue is in terms of disha, in terms of libun. But in any event, let me get into the three things. So A, they said, Memala Mayim Migizuz Tribu Shabbat. All right, we talked about that already. They talked about putting things into nice, soft atzah for fruit storage. That has to do with the braita. The braita is like this. Somebody gets up early in the morning, and it's so early that he just catches the dew point, and he wants to go in to bring the psolet. The psolet, in this case, doesn't mean garbage. It means he wants to bring whatever had been left over after he processed the legumes yesterday. So Ian Bishvil Shehishalaf Tal, the reason he went out at this early morning was because he liked it to be a little bit damp. So then the peirot are going to actually be mukshel kabotum harizu b'chiyutan. But if he only went out early because he doesn't want to interrupt his schedule during the day, shelo yibatel mimalachto, then eno b'chiyutan. And if he didn't say anything, which is stam, then, and here's where he went into bet for the Anshei Tveria. So what he said was, Rav Chanan ben Akiva, look, if you live in Tveria, you're busy. And therefore, we assume the reason that you went out early in the morning was not because you wanted it to be wet. You just didn't have time to go out in the middle of the day. Sorry, after dried out, and you wanted it to be early collected, but not wet collected. And therefore, it does not become mukshel kabel tumah. The third thing was that you're allowed to use a towel, a bath towel, and that's the brayta. The brayta says like this: if you take a bath on Shabbos or Yom Tov, remember me, Ikar Adin, if you're talking about cold water, we weren't goes there. Our minhag is not take cold water, but there certainly are ways where you can get yourself entirely wet. Mistapik adam balunti seminicha b'chalon, you can dry yourself with a bath towel and leave it in the window in the mikveh, in the bathhouse. But do not give it to the ulayrin, who are the professional attendants, because they can't stand wet bath towels. The first thing they do is they squeeze it, and they don't. I've already gotten used to the idea. It must be mutter, you know. So they will definitely, they're chashudim al oto davar. They are always going to squeeze out a wet bath towel, and so that you can't do. And basically, Rabbi Shimon says, you don't have to leave it in the window. You can even carry it home. Because, I mean, Tanakam was saying you got to leave it in the window because we're afraid, assuming there's an Erev or it's Yontif, we're afraid that as you carry it, you're going to squeeze it. It looks a little wet. Shimon says, why should we be afraid? You carry it to your home. We're not gozer that you're going to squeeze it. Omar Rabba Bar Avuna, I want to make sure that we understand the Mishnah that talks about the Gezustra. This is talking about getting water into your Mirpeset. It is not talking about getting water off of your mirpeset. If you've got to have wastewater that's going off of your mirpeset, you're not allowed to pour it off of the mirpeset, because as soon as you pour it down, it's going to be carried outside of the area under the mechitzas instantly, because it's flowing water. So how can you do that? Matkefor of Shizbi, wait a second. We're having a Mishnah coming up about making an uka. An uka is basically a cesspool. It's a settling pool. And over there, if you've got yourself a small chutzner, as we're going to see, you can't pour wastewater into the chutzner. Richie, this is very similar to the Finland idea, that you need that uka, you need that little space that wastewater runs into and then gradually makes its way out into the Baltic. But the idea over here is that it's filtered out meanwhile. And here the idea is that it gradually seeps out into the Rishus HaRabim and does not go directly from where you pour it directly into the street. That's called an uka. Now, the Mishnah is going to discuss a case where the cesspool is full, right? So do you have to stop using your toilets, basically? And the din is that you do not, and therefore, why is this different than an uka? V'chima bein zeh l'uka. And the Gemara said, well, it's obviously different. I mean, look, when you're pouring something into a sewerage system, it doesn't just flow. I mean, it sits there for a second. And the whole idea of the uka is that it's meant to sit and settle. If it's overflowing, it's certainly not your kavana. You'd much rather have it sit and settle. Mashenkein, I mean, over here, the water is not a chance. They're going directly into flowing water. And because of that, hane lo timing. Whereas others say the opposite. Amarabba barvuna. Don't believe it for a minute. Do not think that the only thing we're being matir over here is drawing water onto your porch, but you wouldn't be allowed to pour it off. You're even allowed to pour it off. Lishpoch is also mutter. And in this version, Rav Shizbi said, well, obviously, I read the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is talking about a cesspool. So, and it says over there, you can pour it out. Why can't you pour it out here too? Why do I need you to tell me that? And here too we answer, Mao de Tema, I might have thought about Hani Taime Vahani Lo Taime. Therefore, you should know, Kamash Balan, that it's actually said in both directions.